You're listening to Monday Morning Live, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Michigan Municipal League's Monday Morning Live, the Facebook live stream, and also Monday Morning Live, the podcast. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League, and I'm very honored to be joined by two of our members of our state affairs team, Chris Heckbarth and John LaMacchia. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, Matt. All right.
John's very excited to be here. I'm going to remember to say it this time. Please, we love to have your questions as we're talking, so feel free to post the questions in the comments box, and we'll try to get to them now or maybe after the podcast if your question has come in right away. So, welcome, guys. How are things going? How's everything happening in Lansing? Exciting times?
It's a little weird, a little odd here.
Really?
The legislature decided last week to call it a day.
We're done. We got everything done we needed to get
ish.
Done. Ish. So what does that mean?
Well, we're figuring that out.
Okay. Is this unusual? I mean, usually they take a summer recess, right?
Right. Usually there's a big buildup. There's a budget involved. There's, you know, a mad rush to get things done on an artificial deadline. None of that this time. The budget's not done.
Nope.
Roads is not done.
Nope.
A lot of loose ends just kind of still dangling out there, things that we've been tracking that are we're still tracking.
Mm.
So they've kind of laid out a series of
dates throughout the summer
that are essentially tentative days. And each chamber's put their budget into conference committee, and they're now waiting for the two leaders and the governor to get together and come up with a budget deal and a road funding deal.
Interesting. So they got auto insurance done in May, and then they're like, oh, we're good?
Ish. It's a lot of ish.
Yeah. You know, the one thing about the legislature is that as much as we think they're predictable, they're unpredictable,
oh,
right?
Okay.
They prove to do that time and time again. I think the good news is, you know, one, the framework is there to do certain things, particularly yeah. around the budget, particularly around roads. And there's a commitment, it appears, on both ends of leadership in the House and the Senate and the governor's office to work through those things over the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, maybe come back in August or early September and have an agreement, something that they can vote on and move forward from there.
Okay, well, interesting. Well, we'll get more into that. But one thing, the league obviously is not at recess. We're still very active as an organization, doing a lot of things. One of the things that we're really doing that's really exciting right now is our Community Excellence Award program. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many years now, quite a few years. I should know, I think since 2007, so whatever the math is, 12 years
maybe? 12 years, this will be our 12th year.
Yeah, so we have 17 entries for our Community Excellence Award program, and these are programs that recognize kind of an outstanding project or innovative initiative happening in our communities. Last year, the community of Fraser won for its barrier-free, all-accessible park. Mm-hmm. And this year, we have projects from all over the state, from Kalamazoo to Caro to Vermontville. John, for an extra bonus point, what county is Vermontville in?
Ooh, Ingham.
Close.
Eaton
County. Good job, Chris.
Well, like so, Maple Syrup Festival.
Yeah.
Huge but, Maple Syrup Festival.
Or do they? They yeah. probably do. Makes sense.
Yeah. Pancakes, everything.
I like pancakes.
It's Vermont.
Yeah, Vermontville. So, but a lot of really good projects this year. Real diverse kind of projects. We have splash pads on there. We have community centers. We have public safety pastors on patrol.
Hmm.
So kind of a cool thing. So how this works now is our viewers can actually participate in this program. They can go on to our website, mml.org, and they can vote for these projects. And the online voting started June 17th and ends July 17th. We have 17 projects up for grabs. So that's kind of a cool number there.
Time to go to the lottery?
Yeah, maybe. And then, so the online vote really helps us determine the four finalists that people can then, that will go on to our convention in Detroit this year in September. And then our members attending the convention will pick one of the four as the next CEA winner. So it's a pretty exciting thing. So people can go online right now and vote for these projects, your favorite project in the 17 communities. from all over the state. You were going to say something?
Okay, so is that a shameless plug for our viewers to register for the
convention? Yeah, it's really exciting. Our convention is in Detroit this year.
It's not shameless to plug at all.
We're working on speakers right now.
I'm very proud of it, Chris.
Why are you shameful about it? I think registration will start Wednesday. I just got to look at that. Our trusty producer just pulled it up. Registration opens this Wednesday, so that's perfect.
Don't miss out.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really good convention. I'm really looking forward to it. We got a great number of activities and education sessions lined up, so that's exciting. So going back to the House and the Senate stuff, there was a House budget plan. The league put out a statement shortly, I think it was right after our last Monday Morning Live, put out a statement basically saying we want them to stay focused on kind of looking at the bigger picture regarding transportation.
Sure.
Right, John, tell us a little bit about that.
So a couple weeks ago, the House subcommittee of appropriations chaired by Representative Maddock passed out their budget. It has since passed full appropriations and now passed the full House with some changes. But what that budget did, or the key component to that budget, was right now every motorist, when they fill up at the pump, pays sales tax on every gallon that they purchase. And the Speaker has made it a priority to ensure that every dollar that you pay in taxes at the pump actually goes to roads. So they have removed the sales tax at the pump that you would pay. And then there would be a corresponding gas tax increase to fill that void. It would increase transportation funding by about $540 million this year. The big problem, though, as Chris and I have talked about, is when you take that sales tax off the pump and you no longer collect it, it creates about an $81 million hole for local government.
Ooh, ouch.
It is. but the legislature, to their credit in this case, has said that they are committed to creating a backfill for that. They did that in their general government budget for the full $81 million. And then Chris is working on, and I'm working on, the ability to protect that money in the long term, because it was constitutionally protected. Right now, it looks like a one-time appropriation. We all know how well that goes.
Yeah.
But Chris has come up with some
ideas. It goes year to year, so
we
can't rely on it.
Yeah. It does.
Well, and it's, you know, when we look at, you know, certainly the legislature's conversation as well, you're just giving up this constitutionally protected source for this constitutionally protected source over here. We're going to give you gas tax money that's constitutionally protected for roads. But the problem for communities is, as we all know, revenue sharing helps support the whole operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take that kind of flexible dollar and only give it for one purpose, you're really limiting communities in their ability to manage the rest of their budgets.
Okay.
So to the extent that we can protect those dollars and still provide a strong growth in road funding, again, that's focused on local road networks as well, is important.
Yeah, and Matt, this was really the first step for them. And
for the House?
For the House. And the House has said, and they recognize that they still have to have an additional conversation about new funding.
Yeah.
Because really, while this is new funding, there's still a need beyond what they're talking about. They recognize that, and so they wanted to make sure they got the budget component of it based on what they could do today in place, and then continue those conversations as to whether there's new revenue associated with it, whether that be a gas tax or whether that be another source. And then we've had a lot of productive conversations with a wide variety of people on additional options for local government.
Okay.
Not sure exactly where that goes or what that will mean at this point, but it could be everything from a local gas tax to maybe a local registration fee. And these are all things that we've talked about in the past as an organization, and really one of our key priorities to making sure that governments can better control their own, or local governments can better control their own destiny around their transportation infrastructure.
Right.
Well, if you think about this too, I mean, as John mentioned, this is the House's opening play. We've seen the governor's play, the 45-cent increase proposal.
Yeah.
So the House's play. The Senate did their proposal without doing some different shifts, but not really proposing anything on the increased side for increased revenues. But I think you've heard from the leader, Leader Shirky in the Senate, that they understand, they recognize that. So there's a lot of conversations taking place. Everyone's kind of got their opening play. They've got their first couple cards of Texas Hold'em on the table.
Yeah.
And everybody's now at the point where they're figuring out what's the next card that they turn over. And I think, you know, as John mentioned, the speaker's interested in all the sales tax, any of the taxes paid at the pump going there. So we're trying to make sure that if that does end up in whatever final discussions there are, we protect local revenues.
They replace whatever they're taking away from communities.
Well, and Matt, I want to sort of answer a question I get from members all the time, although it hasn't come in here, is well, what are we advocating for?
Right? Yeah.
Like, if I need to pick up the phone and call a legislator, what am I telling them?
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost is that we want to get to that $2.5 billion number that the governor has
suggested. And that's kind of what our statement reflected.
Absolutely, it does.
Looking at the bigger picture.
But the other thing is, and I find this very interesting, is not a single bill around this has been introduced. So usually when our members say, well, what do I do and how do I do it? We say, well, you know, call your legislator and ask them to support House Bill X or Senate Bill Y. Honestly, there has not been a single bill introduced yet to actually implement a component of the budget around increased transportation funding or the other things that go along with it. Once those things do happen, of course, we will let our membership know. But as of right now, it's really about putting new sustainable funding into that revenue stream for transportation and getting to that $2.5 billion number.
Okay.
And again, as an organization, we care about our local road networks, we care about transit, we care about all modes of transportation, so non-motorized and other pedestrian access. So those are all important components of that we are trying to inject into the debate.
Right. So we talk a lot about, it's really about community infrastructure, not just roads and pipes and bridges. It's about the whole package, everything that makes a community great, from parks to public safety. Those are the kind of things we want to see investment in, because as we've talked about a lot with our Save My City initiative, that, you know, strong, vibrant communities make for a strong, vibrant Michigan. And with the state's continued disinvestment in our communities, it's made it really difficult for them to make that kind of investment.
Yeah, and so I just saw.
So there was a question came
in. Yeah, I just saw a question posted.
So I saw you did.
I was reading it, and it's sort of right up the alley, and it's really about the difference between what we collect in sales tax at the pump and then the money that's going to locals and how that breaks down. I don't want to get too into the weeds, because, you know, we can start talking about the 4% and the 2% that was added under, you know, Proposal A, but really when we look at it, there is 4 cents of the 6 cents that's charged at the pump, and of that 4 cents, 15% of it comes back to local government, right? And that is what the $81 million that I referenced is coming from. There's more money that's generated out of that 4 cents.
Yeah.
But about, you know, almost the entire remaining amount of that 500 plus goes to schools, right? And then a little bit into the general fund. When we think about that swap, that interaction, and what that money now going to transportation would equate to, it's just over $125 million now into local units, right?
Okay.
And not the county side, truly cities and villages that would be going to transportation, right? So while that swap gets a little complicated and there's a lot of things that we have to deal with, it's true that not all of that four cents goes to local government. There's a school component and a general fund component and a small comprehensive transportation fund component if we really want to get into the weeds. But, you know that swap one is not a one for one in the way in which they're looking at it. But for us, it's really about making sure we protect that $81 million going into the future and still have the ability to increase transportation funding on the back end.
Okay. Well, and it's... And that number fluctuates from day to day. We all see the price at the pump changing. Some of these estimates are based on a $2.99 a gallon. Some of it's based upon, we saw some estimates on $4 a gallon. Gas was at $2.60 a gallon this last weekend. So it fluctuates.
All right, we got another question coming in. I'll let you guys read that while I ask the question. So also recently, you guys have talked about revenue sharing a lot. Just recently, Representative Kara Hope, I believe it is, gave kind of a passionate plea on the House floor about revenue sharing and the need to kind of fully fund revenue sharing. It seems like we're hearing more and more of this. We've talked a couple times that the House Committee on Local Government changed their name at the start of the year to the House Committee on Local Government and Municipal Finance. Mm-hmm. Our Save My City initiative has been in place now for over 2 years, pushing the message that our current system for funding communities is broken. Do you feel that this is starting to resonate? We're getting some momentum on this issue and the need to kind of...
Absolutely. I mean, I think when you we've got, you know, leaders in the House and the Senate that are publicly recognized. You know, how things are going on today may not necessarily be the best way to fund our local governments. We've got committee chairs, we've got members, we've got over two dozen current legislators in both chambers who are former municipal officials who get it right from day one. Mm-hmm. Now we remind them frequently, but you know, when you think about the turnover in the legislature, that's one of the things that we do so much is educate.
Yeah.
And we continue to educate and re-educate and remind legislators. Revenue sharing is not sharing, but it is truly its replacement for taxing authority that local governments used to have.
Yeah.
It
was a law that they passed to fund this.
To hold us harmless.
They're not funding it the levels they thought that they were going to.
And I think you see, you know, regardless of party, you see a broad recognition now. We've made this a very strong message that we're delivering. And you see legislators parroting that back to us. And certainly, as our members, as legislators are having coffee hours, and our council members, our mayors, our managers, our other local officials are going to those coffee hours, are going and visiting their legislators back at home, they're delivering the message as well.
Right.
And the importance of this. I can't tell you how many legislators we talk to that say, my locals, I mean, even legislators who have no local government background, you know, they come to us and tell us, my local folks are telling me how important revenue sharing is. How can I help? Mm. So now it's getting them to appropriate the dollars.
Right.
And so we're working on that. But, you know, that will be a constant work on our part. But there's a much broader recognition, I think, now that the need is there.
Good. Yeah. In listening to Rep. Hope's statement, if we didn't know better, we would have thought we wrote it for them,
right.
Quite frankly.
We didn't.
We didn't, right? But that, to me, to your question, Matt, is, you know, showing progress in the fact that our message is getting out.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for us as an organization putting that information out there and providing that to the general public to see where anybody could draw down for it from it, that statement would be much more difficult to make.
But right.
We've provided the avenue and the opportunity for people to have access to the numbers and to the information. And what Rep. Hope did was really a rallying cry, quite frankly, that you could have put up on our convention stage or our yeah. Capitol conference stage. Really quite impressive. But you know, you had mentioned it too, and it ties back to the other question that we had just got is, you know, they had taken a lot of local taxing authority away from us, right, mm-hmm. as a result of getting to, you know, this revenue sharing component that we see today. And so as we look at local revenue options in the future, so whether, you know, that's gas tax or registration fee, I mentioned, you know, for a transportation specific purpose, if you want to go more broad based than that so you can fund other services, you know, sales tax is a challenge based on the constitutional requirements and some potential ballot language that you would have to go and have approved. But there are other creative ways in which you could do if you think about sales tax on services or things like that.
We've talked a lot about PA 33, the existing public safety special assessment that exists for communities under 15,000.
Yep, so communities under 15,000 are able to assess for a millage to fund their public safety. Is that what it is? And we talked about expanding that and include all communities is what we, one of the things we want.
Communities are just using the thought process to expand it to other things. So, we've put a lot of thought in this, a lot of things to deal with. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, trying to restore that taxing authority that we had and still increasing, you know, funding and revenue sharing is one of the things or two of the things that we've identified as key priorities. I know the other component of that practice, a little transportation specific, was a little bit of best practices, just to go back and answer it right now if I can, Matt. But I know that that Leader Shirky in the Senate is very committed to looking at this, whether it be from an efficiency standpoint, if we think about public-private partnerships, all those things will be discussed to see are there gaps that mm-hmm. we're not addressing, and if we are addressing them, how do we make sure that we take advantage of those best practices that are out there,
right? Good. Yeah, and Senator Shirky a couple months ago even talked about one of the other issues was the kind of the conflicts between proposal and Headley. He said maybe it's now time to look at that. It was just kind of another sign of the needles mm-hmm. being moved. We're pretty happy to see that as well. So did we get the question answered that came through? Okay, great.
Well, it was answered, whether it was answered correctly or not.
Okay. Well, our next Monday Morning Live is July 8th at 10:30 again, same bat time, same bat channel here on the Michigan Municipal League's Facebook page. And don't forget to vote for the CEAs between now and July 17th. And also be sure to register for our convention starting Wednesday. That's exciting. It's going to launch. It's going to be a great convention. And if any other parting words, fellas?
No, just finally glad that that summer's here.
Yes.
Theoretically.
Well, and by calendar, right?
By calendar.
And some yeah, I got warm weather.
It was nice this weekend.
Right.
Good weather's good.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us again. And thank you, everybody, for tuned in or going to be watching us down the road. We appreciate it. Again, thank you for watching Monday Morning Live.
Thanks, Matt.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.